There are people joining us online all around the world. Can we greet them? What do we say to the bride worldwide? Shalom, 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 shalom. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Those who wanted to ask questions, yes? Give him microphone.
Shalom, the bride of Christ. Sir, there's a question that has been bothering me. And that question, I have gone round because of my curiosity. And that question is on Sabbath. The question of Sabbath. Because that Sabbath, that rest was instituted even before the Israelites got that law. In Genesis 2:1-3, there was a rest. After God had created everything, he had a rest. And insisted that that threat will continue by his relationship with even Adam and Eve. And that rest was a rest of creation. And creation happened even 4,000 years before Christ. And in Exodus, in Ezekiel, in Jeremiah, I traced this Sabbath. And it happens to me that he also had to place it on in the law, the 10th commandment, and insisted that that law must be respected. And of course, where he had a seal, there was a seal on it. Do this, respect it, keep it holy. And even when Christ came, he said, it is for man. And there is nowhere in the scripture, in the Bible I saw, that we should change that ordinance, that law, to that of resurrection, celebrating the resurrection of Christ. There is nowhere in the Bible I have seen it. And we are here talking about the error, the prostitution of Christianity by some group. And we seem to also be joining somehow in that error. So that has been my curiosity, my problem. Where and how has this issue come up of leaving that institution to the new order? I know that even in Philippians, there is Colossians rather, there was a mention of nailing and not minding the Sabbath, but then that does not mean wiping it away, according to my understanding. And so this is why I have come, sir, to be clarified about this issue of the seventh day and the Sabbath day, which seem to have been taken for the resurrection of Christ. Thank you, sir.
Sorry. The law, the Sabbath was part of the law, correct?
Yes, sir.
Who was the law given to?
The law eventually was given to the Israelites.
Was it given to the Gentiles?
Sir, that law was not to the Israelites only, it was to man, because it was given before the Israelites, sir.
The law was given before the...
When we go to Genesis chapter 2:1-3, sir.
Can we read it?
Yes, sir.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 1-3.
Yes, sir.
Can we read it? Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. Verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Where is the commandment there?
God rested.
Yeah, does that become a commandment?
It continued in Isaiah 56.
No, you said before the law. When you come to Isaiah, you are coming to the law now.
No. So, before the law, he created and ended the creation.
I said before the law.
Yes, sir.
Before the law. God rested on the seventh day when he was creating.
Yes, sir.
Does that become a commandment? Because he rested on the seventh day, it became a commandment. I'm following your reason, you.
Yeah.
I'm following your reason. Yes.
Yes. Clarify it. Of course, if a maker had made things and then on the seventh day he rested.
Therefore, we should all rest.
Definitely. By deduction. By deduction.
No, that is deduction now. Yes. You don't deduct. Follow what the scripture says. It is true, there is a commandment that the seventh day must be hallowed. It is a holy day.
Yeah.
It is a commandment in the Bible. Mm-hmm. But the commandment was not given before the law. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, it was not strictly given before the law, but it was implied.
It was implied.
Yes, sir.
Now, me, I did not see that implication there. And to avoid such arguments, let's stay with the Bible. When you begin to bring implications, then you will soon imply there is no God. When you look at certain scriptures. So let us stop implying. Let's say what the Bible says and stay with it. It was given under the law. And the law was given to the Jews. And they are still keeping that commandment till today, the Jews. Because they have refused to accept Christ. But we that accept Christ, that law is not given to us because we are under a new covenant. And that covenant is what we understand in Matthew chapter 5 verse 17. Can we read it? Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. This is what Jesus himself said. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. What did he come for? I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. If he's coming to fulfill the law, praise the Lord, then you will understand. Pick him, imply anything else you want to imply in Christ Jesus. That is when you'll be correct. Now, do you know that the law says you will worship only on a particular temple? And anywhere you go at all and you are in problem, when you pray, pray facing the direction of that temple. But Jesus Christ came and said, worship now is no more in that temple. Where is it? In him now, him. All worship is where God has chosen to place his name. Oh, glory be to God. So where is God's chosen place of worship? In the law, God's chosen place of worship was in the temple, built with hands. But in grace now, God's chosen place of worship is in Christ Jesus. He says he is the temple of God because he became, that is where God chose to place his name. So, the same thing now. Jesus says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you Sabbath. I will give you rest. Praise God. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4. Let's read Hebrews chapter 4.
Okay, thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me read it from verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise be left us of entry into his rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that had it. For we which have believed, note that verse 3, for we which have believed, do enter into rest. As he said, and that is in Psalm 95 and verse 11, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works we have finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore, it remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, yes, Joshua, had given them rest in the promised land, then will he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remained therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Now, if you read that, it's talking about rest. Let me not go too far. This is the pattern. Let me not go too far. This is the pattern. If you, God is identified by his characteristics. Watch it. The number seven is God's number for completion. In numerology of God. Now see, he built the temple of Solomon in how many days? Answer me, sir. How many years?
7 years.
Talk to microphone.
It's 7 years.
Thank you. 7 years.
Yeah.
He built, the church ages. How many church ages?
We have seven church
ages. Seven church ages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, the salvation for the Gentiles, seven church ages.
Mm-hmm.
Now, take note here. In creating the world, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He created the world 6 days, yes. And the seventh day he rested.
Yeah.
Now, in restoring the world also, it was speaking, in restoring the world after the world scattered, it was going to take him another 7,000 years. According to the Bible, 1,000 years is one day before the Lord. Peter said so. Correct? Mm-hmm. Now, you will notice that salvation is going to last, the world, in the process of restoring, will last for 6,000 years. The first 2,000 years divided into three different dispensations, because God has, again, in a pattern, he works in perfection in the number three. For redemption, he has it. He came as the Father, in the Son, and as the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Three.
Yeah.
Then, the works of redemption, there are three works of redemption. Justification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Now, the same way he saved man is the same way he is also saving the whole earth. Now, the process of justification, where your sins are washed away, and we are justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. After 2,000 years from Adam, the Noah flood came and baptized this earth. The next 2,000 years saw Christ hanging on the cross on Calvary, with his blood, sanctifying this earth. And the next 2,000 years, he's there gathering his bride. After the 2,000 years, the rapture will strike. Making 6,000 years, the seventh day, which is the next, the 7,000 year, is the millennium where there will be rest on the earth here. So that is the pattern you learn from God's creation. If you don't get it like that, you will see me trying to be a Jew under the law, a Gentile for that matter. If not, why are you not having the law of circumcision as a Gentile? Because the covenant of the first Lord in the law made provision for the sealing with the circumcision.
Sir, I guess we will not mix up the substantial laws with the moral laws with the ceremonial laws. And in fact, in particular,
my issue is,
yes, sir.
Sorry, sir. You mentioned something.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Following your teaching.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I'm not
teaching, sir.
Wait. The Sabbath, the law of the Sabbath,
yeah.
Is it ceremonial or moral?
It is substantial. It is moral.
Eh?
It is moral. We can say it is moral if it is among the 10 specified commandments.
No, it is an ordinance.
It is an ordinance, yes. Yeah.
All ordinances.
Apart from other ordinances.
All ordinances are ceremonial. Mm. And the Sabbath is also an ordinance.
Sabbath is among the 10 that has been that was sealed, okay, and the other one. I think I've
explained it enough, sir.
Yes, I understand what actually the explanation. But then you said we should remain in the Bible, in the scriptures.
Yes.
So I want to know where the Bible says we have to change and begin to celebrate the resurrection, to change that day and celebrate it on the first day.
You are correct. There is nowhere in the Bible that substitutes Saturday for a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
There is no law that says we must worship on Sunday.
Mm.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
There is no such law.
Mm.
So what is the problem? Who gave you instruction that you must worship on Sunday?
There's no such instruction.
So why are you quarreling with
this? And why are we worshiping on Sunday, sir?
Eh?
Why are we worshiping on Sunday?
We are following a tradition of the apostles. The apostles who brought the gospel to us decided to gather on first day of the week, being to commemorate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a commandment. It is just a continuation of the apostolic tradition. Nothing more than that. And please, Sunday is not a holy day. Sunday is only a holiday. Holiday is different from a holy day.
Of course.
Now, there's nothing wrong. Nobody, no commandment stops you from doing your business on Sunday. You can open your shop on Sunday. For now in Christ, every day is holy because you are a holy man worshiping a holy God, and every day is holy before you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. God bless you. Okay, Brother Evans from Ghana. Shalom, Pastor Moses. The Bible says John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost right from his mother's womb. My question is, John the Baptist was under the law and the Holy Ghost came after the death of Jesus. So why did John the Baptist receive the Holy Ghost right from the womb, since Jesus didn't die by that time or even on earth at that time? My second question is the saying that a church member cannot be more spiritual than his or her pastor, as said by William Branham. Please, sir, what really does the prophet mean by that statement, and how can it be applied? Okay, God bless you. Listen very well, Evans from Ghana. Scriptures cannot be broken. No human being on earth received the baptism of the Holy Ghost dwelling in him until after Pentecost. Christ died, resurrected. 10 days after, He brought the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, was the sealing of the New Testament. Under the Old Testament, they were only anointed. John the Baptist, what that scripture means is John the Baptist was anointed by the Holy Ghost from the mother's womb. Was anointed from the mother's womb. That is what that scripture means. And then you can understand why Jesus Christ said, is it Matthew chapter 11? Can we read it? Verse 11. Matthew 11 verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. That is the reason. Two reasons. Number one, John the Baptist was under a covenant God had with his children, but the covenant was sealed with the blood of an animal. But we here, the least, is sealed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, he had the Holy Ghost on him. We have the Holy Ghost in us. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's the difference between the law and grace. The second question, William Branham said that no member of a church can be more spiritual than his pastor. And William Branham also added, you didn't finish saying what William Branham said. He said that if you are in any church and you know more than your pastor, say that is evidence that is not your pastor. Telling you that the pastor, when it comes to things of the spirit, he knows enough to be in front leading. The person that leads must know the way. That's why he's showing those following him. Praise God. So that is the meaning of that statement. In any church you are and you know better than the pastor, then you better leave that church. That is not your pastor. God bless you. Yes.
Shalom, sir. I've been here for the past 3 years. So there
you
is something. I'll be here for the past 3 years.
3 years.
Yes, sir. I'll be following your ministry.
Okay.
Sir, there is this thing that is bothering me in my heart. When I was in a Muslim, I do not have that experience. But since I started here, I'll be having the experience. And I want you to confirm it to me. I've not been dreaming about water and the boat bringing people out of the water. Now, sometimes ago, when I started fasting, this 21 days fasting, last year, I discovered that I would see a net and hook catching a fish from the river, and I cannot explain to people. They may think that maybe it's water spirit or other thing. I just want you to confirm to me, when you are in the boat, catching a fish from the boat.
That's evangelical ministry. That's evangelical ministry. God, Christ told Peter, follow me. He was a fisherman. Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men.
Okay, sir.
Yes.
My second question is this. When someone is baptized by Holy Ghost, I hope the person will know that he's baptized by Holy Ghost.
Sure.
Okay, sir. When someone is baptized by Holy Ghost, can any covenant, any spirit work against the person again?
On a condition. Yes.
How, sir?
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge of what? Amen. If you don't know your rights, then your rights can be trampled on. Am I correct? Any barrister? Am I correct? Eh? You see? What the Constitution of Nigeria, for instance, guarantees fundamental human rights. guarantees freedom of association, guarantees freedom of worship. See? Now, but when you don't know this right, but you have a Nigerian passport, you are a national. When you don't know it, you know, they can cheat you on it. They can cheat you on it. But when you know it, nobody can mess you up. So it is spiritual. Now, because the laws of the country anticipates that this freedom that the Constitution has guaranteed you, that it can be trampled upon, that is why they have the courts of law. So that you can go to the court and enforce your rights. See spiritual law. I hope somebody is catching you. Then spiritually, there is also a spiritual court. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ in 1 John chapter 1, I think verse 2 or so. Oh? Chapter 2 or so. Eh? Can we read it? 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. 1 John. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have what? Advocate. We have what?
Advocate.
An advocate. Who is an advocate? An advocate is a lawyer that will speak for you. That is why we come for prayers. That is why we go for deliverance, to enforce our fundamental spiritual rights. Yes, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost, and because of ignorance, Satan can buffet you up and down. Yes?
My last question.
Yep.
Can a Christian, a born again, marry to unbeliever?
Sorry. Did you say can a Christian?
Yes, sir.
Yes. A carnal Christian can go and marry an unbeliever because he is carnal. But a Christian that lives by the word of God cannot go and marry an unbeliever. You will marry a believer like you.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Shalom, church.
God bless you.
My gospel question is that there is a person I know. So the person just carry a little water. They call it money water. And they sell it for somebody. The person now spend it for the house.
Okay.
He said that his miracle to take place. So I want to know whether is he working or not.
Can somebody do deliverance with water? That's your question.
Yes, money water.
With what?
Money water.
Money water.
Yes, you call it money water.
There's money water.
Yes.
And there's afternoon water. And there's evening water. I don't know money water. I don't know it.
Okay, just water.
Water.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. When it comes to deliverance, there is no specific way. He works in various means. When it comes to deliverance, because it is as the Spirit will lead. So, because, for instance, a sister had her leg one time. She couldn't come to church for a long time. Her leg swelled up with blisters and things like that. It was too painful. I didn't see her in the church, and I called her. She said this was a problem. I said, get somebody to carry you down here from Shango. And when she reached here, it was Prophet Okudili that handled the case, Sister Eunice. And immediately he came, he's a deliverance minister. He said, where you do your market? They put something there, you match it. This is thus said the Lord. Go back to that same place. Carry the sand in that same front of your shop. Mix it with anointing oil and rub it there. And it will go. Thus said the Lord. And she left and went there. Nobody prayed for her again because that is the solution. See? And another one came to me without much anything. I placed my hand on that leg, the same kind of problem. It disappeared. It's the same thing. So when it comes to deliverance, there's nothing wrong. On every Tuesday here, we do water ministration. And God uses it and delivers people and heals people. So God can use anything to deliver someone. There was a time somebody called from Zambia and was telling me which scripture can I use to support water ministration. So on a Tuesday I had to demonstrate that it is not the water that heals, it is the faith. So I brought out a sister who was sick. She was holding her water. I said, now drop the water. I think it was this pole or so. I said, now listen to me. Can you hear me? If you hug this stick here, you will be healed. Do you believe it? She said, yes. I said, okay, drop your water. And then she hugged the pole, and the power of God packed her, and God healed her without the water. So it is not the water that heals, it is the faith that heals. And you can use anything. God bless you. Sister Gloria from Cameroon, go ahead.
My question is, what if a woman decides to begin this ministry which you, which the Lord has placed you to be in charge? What if there is no a man that can be in charge, that can go after this ministry? For instance, to get a great friend to play, see that the ministry starts. What if there is not a man, there is no man to occupy that space, and there is a woman like me? Is it, I know that a woman cannot be a pastor, a woman cannot be behind a pulpit, but I choose to run to see that this message is brought in, for instance, into Douala. So we can follow your example, because other churches which I am seeing are not following your example. They are not some of the message, but they are not doing what you are doing. Even right from Nigeria, where I discovered this message. Please answer my question.
Tell him. Woman ministry. If there is no man, can the woman lead? Who gathered you people there before? Why should you gather at all if there is no man? That there is no man makes that gathering illegal. There will always be a man somewhere to lead you if that gathering is a gathering by God. As far as ministry is concerned, the fivefold ministry is not for women. The Bible forbids a woman from being a pastor under any condition. Apostle Paul gave the reason. Praise God. From Ghana, Brother Andy. Shalom, brethren. I want you to direct this text to Pastor Moses Alu. I want to humbly ask him, why does he wear clerical collar? Which I think was designed by the denominations to identify their reverend ministers as trained in the Bible schools. I believe that to identifying a pastor is by God's call. Thanks. Well, am I wearing collar now? Okay, listen. There are some things I do deliberately. I do it deliberately to send a message out there. For instance, in the end time message, some churches, they won't even allow you come to church, brother, unless you are wearing tie. You must tuck in and wear tie. You can't wear t-shirt and come here. So to those people, I have tried to dress, even wear jeans, and come to church sometimes. It is for such people that I'm flying my shirt now and coming to stand here and preach. Praise the Lord. And I wanted those who believe that it is color. Since you wear that color, it's a specific identification. You have to go through some formalities before you be entitled to wear it. To tell them that na color, na tailor design am, and it is cloth. Anybody can wear it, including me. It doesn't mean nothing. That is all. I do it deliberately to send a message out to someone that there is nothing there. So you can't say that is my identity. Why do I wear it? Praise the Lord. And please, for your information, I don't know whether it must be an inter-message person. William Branham wore it too. And he told us he wears it so that he can have easy passage at the airport. So that they can see it and identify him like they identify who they believe is a man of God. So that they will not disturb him. He passes through airport formalities, then they can respect him. So it is the purpose that God judges. God bless you. You can see that there is nothing in this ministry that shows, that identify the way they do it in the denomination. Nothing like that. Nothing. God bless you. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Pastor, I have a question from First Book of Corinthians, chapter 14, from 1 to 5.
Okay, can we read the First Corinthians chapter 14 from verse 1? It says, follow after charity and desire. He said, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. So he's telling you that you should desire spiritual gifts. So what's your question? How can you desire?
Yes, that, you know, the work of those prophecies there, one said, speaking in tongue does not... Okay, he said, speak in a tongue does not speak to human beings, but to God. For no one listens, he utters mysteries in the spirit. So desiring the service, as he said, but strive eagerly for a spiritual gift. Is he a desire when, is he, you know.
Paul is trying to tell you that the spiritual gift is so important that he will tell you, you know, encourage you to desire it. But then he said, among all the spiritual gifts, desire the one that can bless or edify the church, which is prophecy. That's all he's teaching you there.
Okay. In a salvational walk to God, everyone can desire that.
There is what?
But that is a salvational life.
Salvational life.
I mean, a life of a better change. Everyone can desire that, but this particular service to God, can someone desire to prophesy?
Are you asking Paul or me? The Bible says you should desire. I don't know what your question is. Because it is important. That's why it's telling you desire it. The same Apostle Paul says somewhere, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Can we read it? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desired a good work. So the leadership office in the church, you can desire it. Spiritual gifts, you can also desire it. Just as the next verse in 1 Timothy chapter 3 tells you, therefore, the qualification, he also tells you concerning gifts, that desire rather the type of gift that can bless other people, which is prophecy. So what is the problem there?
No, there's no problem. I just want to be very
clear. Okay, God bless you. Next person.
Yeah, shalom, church.
Yep, shalom.
This brother Chidi from Germany.
You're on air.
It's brother Chidi from Germany. Shalom, church. My question is, I have two questions. After one is, in the Bible, there are many places where it says, pray for your enemy. And there was a time, last time, you said that one is in full spirit, which is can pray for his enemy. I heard it from your preaching that he's elevated. When if you go inside your room and pray for your enemy, not only those who go to you, but I hear in the churches, people give testimony about people who died, who we are pursuing them. Or sometimes there are prayers in the church, they say your enemies will die, your enemies will encounter bad things. Why such prayers? Why in the Bible it says pray for your enemies? And he says, if it is possible, be in good time with all men. Why do people pray that their enemy will die or they should encounter bad things? Why? And another question is, if in your area, he says in the Bible, do not forget the assembly of the brethren. But if it is in your area, there is no such good church like yours here in Nigeria, what should one do? Better to stay at home or to do work? If you find all are the same, only for prosperity, no salvation, no righteousness, what will you do? Thank you, Shalom Church. God bless you all.
God bless you too. It's true. Your first question is correct. The scripture says you should pray for your enemies. Can we read it? Matthew chapter 5. Amen. Praise God. Verse 38. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. You have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Praise God. And verse 48. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. This is the reason that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Now, when you read this scripture, praise God. That is verse 45. The reason why you should love your enemies and bless them that curse you, verse 45 say, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. What it's telling you is that you should do it like, live your life like your Father which is in heaven. Now, you must always find a balance in the scripture. When you look at scripture only one way, you will miss it. You must find a balance. The same Jesus Christ came here and said, You should love your enemy, bless them that use you, that persecute you. And then he came again in another place and said, I give you power to bind and to loose. If he has given you power to bind and to loose, who are you going to bind? He gave you power to cast out devils. Praise God. So you must balance it. Amen. Now, that is why we must have the Holy Ghost. Amen. No Christian retaliates. The spirit of retaliation. You do me this, therefore I will do this for you. To revenge. Vengeance is of the Lord. Praise the Lord. But somebody who is disturbing you, you have no sin if you cast him out of your life. Chase him out of your business. Chase him out of your marriage. You are casting out. Now, I told you the other day, listen, church, I said, cast out devil. Cast out devil. I said, there is a difference between a devil and a demon. A demon, devil, not the same thing. A demon and a devil, it means tormentor. Now, the evil spirits, fallen angels, evil spirits, what they use to torment us, it's not those spirits that torment us. They invent weapons that they throw on us. Those weapons they throw on us, they are demons and they are devils. Amen. And they can manifest in any way, in any means. They throw you just here, from here. The next thing, now something. And that's why William Brown said, behind every sickness, there is a demon behind it. Praise God. So when you throw something on me, and I say, I return it to sender, then you will say, it's tit for a tat. It's not tit for a tat. It came from somewhere, and I reject it. So it must go back to where it came from. We must balance it. That's what I'm saying. There is time to bind and there is time to cast out. There is time to throw Holy Ghost fire. But you must not. And then Apostle Paul also tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Put on the whole armor of God. Those scriptures give you the knowledge that you are in a battlefield. So there is spiritual warfare. Praise God. You must balance it up. But you don't live a life of hatred, hating everybody all around you. No. Even if I know that you are the one doing me, I will still bless you. If I'm in position to help you, I will help you. I will not say because you are wicked to me, now you need my help, I will not. No, no, no. No Christian does that. Praise God. God bless you.